Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Slice of Life, your lifestyle radio show right here on ESPN 1520. We're here every week from 10:30 to 11. It's a privilege and a pleasure for me to be here and to talk to so many interesting guests, all folks who represent things going on in our community. It could be anything from legal, medical, real estate, food, events, festivals, SPCA, Restaurant Week coming up. We've got the whole gamut covered here on Slice of Life. If you'd like to listen to any of our archive shows, please feel free to do so. You simply go to ESPN1520.com and you'll see Slice of Life, and all of our shows are available to you on podcast. It's a pleasure today to bring in two of my favorite people. Gina Browning will be our first guest. She is the Chief Communication Officer, the CCO at the SPCA. And if that isn't enough alphabet soup, we'll figure out more about LRW in the next segment, because Krista Hobart will be here from Local Restaurant Week. And would you believe Local Restaurant Week is right around the corner again? The next week will be in October, and we'll get into the details with Krista as well. They're celebrating a big anniversary. So many, many good things happening in our community. And as I mentioned, it is a pleasure to welcome my dear friend and the Chief Communication Officer, the woman who really is the face of the SPCA in Erie County, Gina Browning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Gina. There's always a lot of things happening at the shelter. And for folks who still may not know, you moved from your longtime location in Tonawanda to a location on Harlem Road in Cheektowaga. What's the exact address?
Yeah, it's 300 Harlem Road. It actually falls into the West Seneca,
West Seneca
category. And, you know, people are shocked at how visible it is now. We were kind of off the beaten path on Ensminger. Although everyone started associating Ensminger with SPCA, you didn't really see the building unless you made it a point to go there. Now, if you're on the 90, you see it. You can't miss it,
even if you
try.
Yeah, I looked over at it the other day, and I thought, there's the SPCA. And I'm glad you clarified it's in West Seneca.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not Cheektowaga. And what are the hours of operation for the SPCA?
Every day is a little bit different, but if we are talking strictly adoptions, we open at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, and on Saturdays we open adoptions an hour early at 10. We're closed on Sundays.
And here we are now in mid-September. What's the animal population like? Do you have more cats than dogs? Do you have a big variety of both? And also, of course, farm animals and birds and so forth?
We had a busy August with farm animals. So I'm glad you brought farm animals up. A lot of people don't realize that until they're actually at the building, that we have a big red barn out there too. Lots of cats right now. And we did well over the summer. Our cat admission numbers went way down, first time ever that our cat numbers were down. But it seems like now we're making up for it, and we've instituted our waiting list again for cats. So if people are thinking that they may have to surrender a cat, don't wait until the day before you're leaving or the day before you need to surrender the cat. Call us and let us get you on the list.
That's a good idea, too. And I know that the SPCA serving Erie County is not funded by Erie County, even though it could be suggested that it would be based on the name. And Gina, I don't think it's ever enough to just clarify about that too. How is the SPCA funded?
Just donations. And you're right. People hear SPCA serving Erie County and they think we're receiving tax dollars. And
right.
People call quite often and say, well, I'd like you to come out and trap this stray animal for me. My tax dollars are paying for this. And first of all, the SPCA is not animal control. We're a humane society, two very different roles. But no, we're not funded by any kind of tax dollars, no federal connection. You know, you see those ASPCA commercials on TV and people think that if they donate there, the money trickles down. No, we'll receive a grant here and there depending on the program. But no, we're not affiliated with any other agency, completely independent, completely donations.
I'm glad you said that too, because I think it's so easy to just assume certain things about that. And also what you mentioned too about humane organizations versus animal control,
right,
which are generally handled by individual municipalities, correct?
That's right. And a lot of municipalities, you know, tax dollars went toward animal control, but a lot of them have now, I want to use the right wording here, a lot of them now call themselves dog control. And you're in a little bit of trouble if you're working with another type of animal. So it depends on where you live, your jurisdiction, and how your agency handles animals of all kinds.
Well, speaking of money, too, and the funding that's needed to keep the animals sheltered and fed and cleaned and so many, I mean, just a myriad of services that you do at the SPCA serving Erie County. Star 102.5 and WBEN, one of our, or two of our sister stations here at Entercom, longtime supporters of the SPCA. We'll be holding another SPCA Radiothon on December 13th. Live at the shelter on Harlem Road in West Seneca. What do you expect this year, Gina?
Well, this year, I believe it's our 15th year. I can't wrap my mind around that. And we do have a wonderful relationship. I do have to point out that part of the reason for that wonderful relationship is due to the fine work of my predecessor at the SPCA, namely you.
Oh, my goodness.
I noticed you let that out of the intro. And, you cultivated these relationships.
Oh,
and
thank
we carried
you,
them on. And Star 102.5 and WBEN have us on weekly. They decided quite some time ago that they wanted to do more for us. And this radiothon is amazing. It's our biggest fundraiser, and they allow us to tell stories that we couldn't normally tell unless something generated a new story. They just let us tell about the day-to-day miracles that are happening at the SPCA. You know me, every adoption is a miracle.
Absolutely,
to me.
Yes.
But it's those moments that, you know, you hear things like this and you think, well, what a wonderful service the SPCA provides. Hopefully I'll never need to use the SPCA for that service, but it's great that it's going on. All of a sudden, they'll go visit grandma in a nursing home, and there's an SPCA therapy dog. And they're not realizing, you know, it's the SPCA providing the service. We're providing a service for veterans who are able to come back into town and start working with animals to help with a host of different problems, including PTSD. We're able to provide that.
Wonderful services that you may not automatically assume you know about, because there are so many things that you've done and developed over the years. Your tenure there has been incredibly successful. You've been there since 1990 and have seen many different evolutions of the shelter come about. So I salute you for the hard work you've done.
Thank you.
Over the years.
Thanks.
And there are many tales, and I mean that in every sense of the word, at the SPCA, because everybody has a story. And it's just, it gives me goosebumps to think about it. Well, one of the other things that we're doing is helping you promote the 25th anniversary of Paws in the Park. Again, hard to believe a quarter century, Gina.
Yeah.
Which is coming up on the 22nd of this month at Beaver Island. How does that all work?
Well, people can take a look at the information, and this event has grown so much by leaps and bounds, it would take me 3 hours. And, you know, the bottom line is this community has supported this event for 25 years. It started out at Chestnut Ridge Park with a goal of $4,000, and I was thrilled that we made $8,000. Now we're looking at probably about 700 dogs coming with their owners.
Wow.
People come even without their dogs, and this has grown to be a tradition every autumn for a lot of families. There are people who have done this walk every year for 25 years.
Isn't that fabulous?
It's incredible. Wow. Not the same dog, sadly, but they'll get other dogs, or a lot of people just come. We've had people do class reunions, and they form a team for the walk, family reunions. Different social groups now will come at the group rate, at a team rate, and they'll just come in to do something wonderful, and they'll get the group together as well.
What a great idea, great excuse to get together for cause. And who isn't an animal lover, for goodness sake? And you have more than 50 pet-related vendors and exhibitors slated to be there on the 22nd, and that's set up right there in the park, right?
Right there in the park. We've got an incredible presenting sponsor, Keller Technology Corporation.
Oh.
They not only sponsor the walk, but they do so many events leading up to the event itself. At Paws in the Park, they've got a basket auction going on. We just packed up the baskets last night, so I can say firsthand there are some tremendous baskets. People come out, even if they don't want to participate in the walk, there's so much else to do. It's become its own event.
Right.
The Keller Technology booth, they have the basket auction, they have saber ticket raffles. We've got all kinds of dog contests.
Yeah, I see that dog. And you also have something called duck herding with Gene Barrett. Is that even possible, Gina?
This is something new that we're featuring this year. These are educational animals. And people, I'm one of them, we're very intrigued at the herding instinct that border collies and other similar breeds have. And she's going to show us how it's done. These are animals who, my first question was, won't the ducks be stressed? And they do these demos. Apparently, these ducks are quite accustomed to it, and they're accustomed to being herded by these dogs. And it's really an interesting demonstration from what I hear. I'm like everyone else, I'm kind of anxious to see this.
Yeah,
to see how
be
this
so
works
different.
Out.
It's worth a trip just for the duck
That's
herding.
That's right.
And then you also have something called pet CPR demonstrations. Now, I have this image of these little paddles. I mean, Is there really such a thing?
There absolutely is. We used to give lessons on pet CPR at the shelter. We had our Recessa dog. Remember Annie? Remember Recessa Annie?
No, I don't remember.
Was the person in gym class when we were all young? Well, this is the Recessa dog named Spot.
Oh, you're talking about the mannequin.
Human, Annie the human. Remember Annie?
I do.
Well, this is
Recessa. She didn't have much personality.
Spot. She really never
she was
said much.
A woman of few words.
I couldn't get anything out of her. Well, Spot is hooked up to a lighting system, and if you're doing the CPR right and Spot survives, the green light goes on and you know that you're doing CPR right. We're going to show people how to do this.
What a great idea. Now, the Paws in the Park, if you want to mark it on your calendar, it's coming up before you know it. It's September 22nd at Beaver Island, and registration and check-in is at 8:30, and the walk starts at 10, right, Gina?
That's right. Yeah, we made it a little earlier this year. We found that people were asking if it could be earlier, and we said okay.
Hey, why not? You still have a good part of the day left after this, so $30 until the 16th of September.
That's right.
So obviously today's the day. And then it goes up incrementally, but it's certainly worth it. And you can check in at the SPCA with early check-in as well.
Yeah, it's nice too because you could fundraise for it and get pledges. You know, it used to be that, can you give us a quarter a mile? And it's a little different now,
sure,
the pledge system. But people can collect pledges and work their way up to some fantastic prizes.
What a great idea.
And a VIP tent.
Yeah, and 12 and under free.
That's right. First year for that too.
Nice. Well, mm-hmm. It looks like you've really thought this out well, and I wish you great success with that.
Thank you.
So great to have all of these different activities going on, and you always seem to reinvent the wheel. You know, that's really the challenge, I think, with so many of these wonderful fundraising ideas, is coming up with some new theories and ideas and approaches. So good for you. We're talking with Gina Browning. Gina is the very public face of the SPCA serving Erie County. Her official title is Chief Communication Officer. And Gina, I imagine you were doing some work with the local press and perhaps other members of the press with the tough weather, the hurricane that was hitting the Atlantic seaboard, mm-hmm. especially the Carolinas. And I understand that you had 6 shelter dogs from a South Carolina shelter brought to Western New York.
That's right. We had to transport, and we are receiving shelter. You know, animal welfare here in the North is very different from the South, especially the Carolinas.
How do you mean?
Animal welfare is looked at very differently. Animals overall are looked at very differently in the South, and the care is not of the level that you find in the North. We take that for granted until we at the shelter start going to these other shelters and seeing how animals are being cared for, if they're being cared for. There are many overcrowded shelters, and that's why we are so fortunate to have a community that backs us up so that we can be a receiving shelter to save some of these animals from the overcrowded shelters in the South.
Now, when you're at work and you get a call, do you get that direct call from, say, the shelter manager and say, are you able to accommodate these animals?
We do. We work very closely with the HSUS, that's the Humane Society of the United States,
right.
And they work through some specific groups, and we are a receiving shelter for these specific groups. You may have heard of Wings of Love. That is a plane. They fly the animals. They're able to transport the animals for free. They run by donations. We receive animals that way, and it's all through HSUS. We are a receiving partner shelter with them.
With the animals that you're taking in or continue to take in because of the tough weather and with the hurricane area, do they ultimately go back to the Carolinas, or do you try to adopt them out here in Western New York?
We initially receive animals that were already in shelters before the storm hit. This is the shelters anticipating having many displaced animals, so they'll clear out the animals who are already surrendered. They're already shelter animals. Our main goal is to get those animals adopted out. When we did a lot of work with Katrina, we started receiving displaced animals probably maybe a month and a half after the storm hit, and we actually were able to reunite one animal who was up for adoption with his owner there. So she flew up, and so every animal is a little bit different,
right.
But we usually receive the animals once they're surrendered or once no owner has shown up for a significant period of time.
It must be a feather in your cap to know that the SPCA serving Erie County is one of the shelters in the Northeast that can accommodate these animals, can take them in and know how to handle them in a very tough, stressful situation.
It's something that our entire community, it's actually a collective feather in the cap, because mm-hmm. our entire community can boast this. They also support us if we are called upon to assist in these areas. With Katrina, for instance, there were convention centers full of thousands and thousands of animals, not manageable by one shelter.
Of course.
So they put out the call throughout the country, and we were able to set up a staff rotation for almost 2 months, sending people out.
You do so much at the shelter. As you mentioned, it's on Harlem Road in West Seneca. If people have questions, is there a number to call?
That's right. They can give us a call on our main line, 875-7360. They can always start by asking for me, and I can get them in the right direction.
Perfect. 875-7360. So mark your calendar this Saturday, September 22nd, the 25th anniversary of Paws in the Park. And when we're talking special things on the calendar, Gina, December 13th, I look forward to the SPCA Radiothon. Live at the shelter, I imagine you'll be on the air a few times with our pals from Star and WBEN.
Sometimes they're so lucky to have a break from me. They love putting everybody else on.
I doubt that. Well, I don't know. Do you have a rat lined up for Sandy Beach's segment?
So I do. He's going to co-host with him. I don't know if I've told Sandy that yet. Maybe I'll wait and surprise him.
I think you should. Yeah. I'd like to see his reaction to that. Yeah. Gina Browning, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
That'll put a wrap on this segment, but much more to come with Krista Hobart in the house next from Local Restaurant Week.
Okay, looks like they're done with the review, and here comes a call.
Upon further review, touchdown, Buffalo Bills. Also of note, the big cash bonus I got from M&T Bank. Yep, opened an M&T checking account, made some direct deposits, and it was mine. Also got an awesome Bills debit card that gets me discounts on Bills gear that I wear when I'm not refereeing games.
Right now at M&T Bank, you can get a $100 cash bonus on new personal checking accounts or up to $250 on select accounts. Just add qualifying direct deposits. Plus, you can get the exclusive Bills debit card that gives you access to special offers like discounts at the Bills store. Rush to any M&T Bank branch or mtb.com/bills today. M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. This offer is valid on personal checking accounts open between 9/6/18 and 11/26/18. Bonus requires qualifying direct deposits totaling at least $500 within 90 days of account opening. Offer subject to change and varies by region. Certain restrictions, conditions, and fees may apply. Member FDIC.
Hi, Steve Tasker for Westhurst Subaru.
And I'm Alex.
Yes, you are.
I always thought you were the big reason Westhurst Subaru is Buffalo's number one volume selling Subaru dealer.
And?
Well, have you seen their Google reviews?
Oh, yes. Over 1,000 at last count. Lots of pretty high praise. Plus, they're a Subaru Love Promise Customer Commitment Award winner.
I knew that.
And conveniently located right on Southwestern Boulevard in Orchard Park or at WestherSubaru.com.
Yeah.
And if somebody in Western New York wants to test drive any new Subaru and can't make it in, they bring one to you. And right now, the last of the new all-wheel drive 2018 Subaru Imprezas and all the remaining 2018 Subarus have some incredible deal options.
Guess that about says it all.
Oh, size claim based on Subaru reported new vehicle sales calendar year 2017. All 2018 Subaru models with EyeSight receive the highest possible rating for front crash prevention from IIHS. That's it.
You are really good.
GEICO presents unhelpful home improvement how-tos.
Lightning can spark a fire in seconds. So today, I'll show you how to protect your belongings by covering them in a fireproof blanket fort. All you need is a hammer, nails, and 700 fireproof blankets. Upon completion, you'll notice your apartment isn't just fireproof, it's also extremely cozy.
You could try to protect your valuables with a fireproof blanket fort, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Go to geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Exercise the power of community. Take part in the Dash for Diversity, Sunday, September 23rd at Buffalo State College on Elmwood. It's fun for the whole family with lunch from the Hyatt and fun family activities. Proceeds benefit the National Federation for Just Communities of Western New York. Be a part of the Dash for Diversity Run and Walk, Sunday, September 23rd at Buffalo State College. To learn more and to register yourself or as a team, go to nfjcwny.org.
Thanks for tuning in to Slice of Life. Now back to your hostess with the mostest, Brenda Alacy.
And welcome back on your Sunday Funday. Hope you're having a good weekend. And it's always a pleasure to do this show. And it's a pleasure to say thank you to Kevin Carr week in and week out for pushing all the right buttons. So the K-Car driving us down the right road here. Well, a friend of the show is back. And can you believe Local Restaurant Week is looming? It's next month, October 15th to the 21st. It's the fall edition. This happens twice a year in the spring and the fall. And Krista Hobart is back in the saddle talking about Local Restaurant Week. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back. It's hard to believe that it is upon us once again.
You're not kidding, Krista. Where does the time go? The summer to me is over in a blink, and here we are talking about the fall edition. And even more incredible is the fact that we're talking about the 10th year of Local Restaurant Week.
I know. It's crazy. This is our 20th Local Restaurant Week event. So it is hard to believe, actually. It's what started out as this little seed of an idea that nobody knew was going to really go anywhere. You know, not exactly sure what was going to happen. We're the fifth largest restaurant week concept in the country
right now.
So, yeah, Little Buffalo. It's pretty exciting.
Well, when you talk about Buffalo, I mean, to me, food is a big part of our identity.
Yeah.
Enough with the snow and the losing Buffalo Bills. I'm talking food because it is such a positive and it's everywhere. So for folks who don't know about Local Restaurant Week, how does it work, Krista?
Okay, so in order to participate, restaurants have to be locally owned and operated with no ties to a national franchise or chain. So all the restaurants that are involved are mom-and-pop restaurants, been around for a long time. Your neighbors own them. The great places that you want to support, and the ones that are only found here in Western New York. So restaurants have to be locally owned and operated, and then they offer a menu priced at $20.18, $30.18, or $40.18, and then you just go out to eat that week and dine on their awesome dining features.
And if you haven't had enough coffee this morning, the 2018 coincides with the year.
Exactly. That's kind of been our catch for the whole, since the beginning, is always based on the year.
And I like the fact that you have different increments. So if you want to go a little bigger, you get more options for the 30.18 and more for the 40.18.
Right. And it didn't always used to be that way.
I remember.
When we started, it was just one price point, $20.09 in 2009.
Yes.
And then over the years we expanded it. We really needed to. You know, lots of things happen over the years. You can't just go up by one penny. So actually expanding the price points really worked well because a lot of white tablecloth restaurants were able to offer things that they felt were more of what they would normally offer.
Well, you raise a very good point, Krista, because you have everything from white tablecloth restaurants to diners, little joints, you know, dives, if you will. It really does run the gamut.
It does. And it's not just for dinner anymore. So we have several places that offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a few places that offer brunch as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it isn't just for dinner, and it's not just for Saturday or Friday night. You can go out with your coworkers during the week. You can go out for breakfast on the weekends. Really, the whole 7 days, there's something to celebrate every day.
You could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner in one day.
You certainly could. And I think we've talked about this before, that when I very first started doing Local Restaurant Week, I went out 9 times that week.
Oh, my goodness.
And while I encourage everyone to go out during Local Restaurant Week, 9 was a little aggressive.
Yes, it was. But I bet you enjoyed every bite.
Yeah, I did enjoy every bite, but my pants did not fit at the end of the week.
A job well done. So generally speaking, you have about 200 restaurants that participate, and you're probably at about, what, 60 so far?
Exactly.
So if people want to, if a restaurant owner is listening or knows of somebody who might want to participate, how would they reach you?
It's so easy. All you need to do is go to our website, which is localrestaurantweek.com. If we're really on top of things, we already have your restaurant in there. If we're not on top of things, which happens sometimes, there's a brand new restaurant that's around, my name and number is right at the bottom there, and you can just give me a call, and I'm happy to get your information and get you registered.
We're talking with Krista Hobart, H-O-B-A-R-T, Krista with a C, and Krista is one of the main players here in this whole initiative. Just such a great idea. How did you find out that we're the fifth largest in the country? Did you talk to a lot of your counterparts around the U.S.?
Just a little research. Every once in a while, I kind of just spot check and see what everybody is doing. I follow most other restaurant weeks on social media, so I know when they're happening. And just sat down and figured it out one day. We are the only one that I can tell that only features locally owned and operated ones with no national chains. Most the other ones have some chains in them, especially like New York City has some chains.
Well, isn't that kind of a contradiction in terms then if they have national ones?
Well, they call it Restaurant Week, and we call it local Restaurant Week.
So, I didn't realize the local wasn't across the board.
No, not across the board. And each Restaurant Week concept runs their, we're all different. I mean, we run the one here. We're just some folks in Buffalo that run it. But for the most part, Restaurant Week concepts are run by the Chamber of Commerce of the city that they're in.
And Krista, do you find that a lot of restaurants really get a tremendous boost early week, which typically it seems to me is the toughest time to draw people in? Certainly a lot of places are busy, you know, maybe Wednesday through Saturday, but that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is tough.
Right, it is tough, and that's actually what we focus our advertising on, is getting folks out to eat at the beginning of the week, and again, not just for dinner, for lunch and for breakfast and going out with your coworkers and that sort of thing. Because it's true, if you don't have a reservation at a busy, popular restaurant on a Friday or Saturday night, you're going to be waiting, and you might not get in. So I guess that's an encouragement to, if you are going out for local restaurant week, make sure you get your reservations in right away, because Friday and Saturday night, always busy during local restaurant
week.
Always
fun to go out early in the week, too. It's just something to look forward to. Now, social media plays a big role, it seems, in everyone's life, and it's come into play for local restaurant week as well. Tell us about this new concept of snap and share billboards.
So we have kind of a fun thing that we're doing this fall to celebrate our 10th anniversary, and we're calling it Snap and Share, where you go out to eat, you snap some photos of you and your friends. What we're looking for is not actually so much pictures of food, but what we're looking for is pictures of smiling, happy people out to eat, celebrating the local restaurant scene. And then you post them on social media using the hashtag Local Restaurant Week, and we will search through them, and some lucky winners will get their photos on some of our billboards. We have 11 digital billboards the week of Local Restaurant Week all across Western New York.
Oh, so you never know. You might be driving down the expressway and you look up and there's your smiling face full
of food. Exactly. We try to pick flattering photos, yes.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that. Yeah, I don't want to see somebody's food.
No. And I can give a tip on the photos if you're interested, too.
Please.
Again, we're looking for smiling, happy people out dining, and if you can get a logo in there of the restaurant that you're at, that's like a bonus.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, restaurant owners, take note of that.
Exactly.
Now, this really ranges from all corners of Western New York, right?
Right. Just yesterday, we had a new restaurant participate in Lewiston.
Oh.
And then we have them as far south as, East Aurora, definitely further south than that. And then same towards Rochester as well. So
fantastic.
We kind of cover the whole Western New York area.
And it really does provide an economic boost to the Western New York coffers.
You sure have that right. Not only is it a boom for the restaurants, you know, it's a boom for the servers, the owners, and also the people that are delivering food to the back door and products to the back door, farmers and the local purveyors and such. So it's not just restaurant owners that are making a little extra cash that week.
That is a great point, Krista. So please go out and eat. Enjoy yourself from October 15th to the 21st. Happy anniversary. Congratulations on 10 years of Local Restaurant Week and the 20th event, Krista.
Thank you. We're just grateful no one's full yet.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Buffalo, after all. We'll see you next week with some new information on Local Restaurant Week. We'll be previewing it right up until the 15th. Well, that'll put a wrap on this edition of Slice of Life. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Go Bills.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life Sunday at 10:30 on ESPN 1520.